On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap the NBA bubble as the regular season is now over and we prep for the play-in game and the playoffs. The Cubs are continuing their winning ways and they go into Friday with a record of 13-3. And the Blackhawks are in the playoffs. They are facing the Vegas Golden Knights and down 2-0. So we'll get into all that and more. Let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Hope you all are doing well. Welcome to 23 is the Mic. I'm your host, Nadeem. You can find me on Instagram at NadeemN22 and on Twitter at TheDreamN22. And follow all our socials, 23 is the Mic, at 23 is the Mic on Instagram and Twitter. It's been a crazy, crazy ride this past couple weeks. We haven't had a show in quite some time due to the fact that I'm in the process of moving. Work's been crazy, and I'm missing all this great, great sports, really. Because there's sports playoffs that are running rampant right now through the NBA, the NHL, and the UCL. So I've been in tune a lot with like the soccer games that are going on in the UCL with the quarterfinals. We are basically through three of the four quarterfinals. And I think I'm going to do a separate episode after the Man City game tomorrow. Because it's just been a crazy week and there's so much to get into when it comes to the UCL. PSG's epic comeback. Atletico was upset yesterday. Today, Barcelona got absolutely destroyed by Bayern. So there's so much going on there. So today is going to be primarily about the NBA. Huge news from the Bulls today. The NHL, the Blackhawks are in the playoffs. And the Cubs continuing this awesome 13-3 season. I know there's been skeptics, there's been a lot of critics that are criticizing the schedule. Guess what? This is the times that we're in with the coronavirus. We're only afforded to play the teams that are within our region. And turns out that the NL Central isn't really good this year. The Cardinals have still only played five games because of coronavirus. I mean, just disqualify the Cardinals at this point because there's so many games to make up. It's crazy to see all this going on. And again, we hope you and your family are doing well, keeping healthy and safe. So the main feature of this week was, I want to say, the NBA bubble coming to a close with Damian Lillard and the Blazers taking that eighth spot away from the Memphis Grizzlies. The Phoenix Suns, led by Devin Booker, who was named, I think he was named the bubble MVP, even though Damian Lillard has been crazy. In his last three games, he's had 61, 51, and 42 points. That's just crazy. Unbelievable stats. He's averaging 50 points, close to 50 points, but even more than 50 points in his last three games. It's a great stretch. I don't know how he didn't win the bubble MVP. But they play the Memphis Grizzlies, who have lost Jared Jackson. They lost the eighth seed. They don't look too good. They haven't been good in the bubble, but they have been good enough to at least make the playoffs. Unfortunately, the Phoenix Suns, who went 8-0, were eliminated last night when the Blazers won. So tomorrow at 1:30, that game is happening. If the Blazers do win, they advance to the next round, the first round of the playoffs against the Los Angeles Lakers. If the Grizzlies win, then they play another time. It's like double elimination that way for the eighth seed. That series is going to be reckless. The Blazers and the Lakers, there's mismatches all over. You have Yusuf Nurkic and Hassan Whiteside that are going against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Probably. Those are the probable matchups because there's size. But then the Lakers don't have anyone who can guard both CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard. And Dame Lillard is playing out of this world right now. So will you put LeBron on him to play defense? Maybe get rid of that perimeter shot, force him to go inside. But even then, he's really good there too. You have Gary Trent, who can be a good role player. He's been good during the bubble. We'll see if that translates to the playoffs. Playoffs are always a different animal. We'll see how that goes. The huge news of the week, or of today, this morning broke that the Bulls have fired head coach Jim Boylan. This was a move that us as Bulls fans have been waiting to happen, because Jim Boylan has been the placeholder coach for the end of Garpak's era. And with this new regime coming in, with the new VP, with the new GM, it was really important to kind of have them select their guy instead of having them be complacent with what we had already when it wasn't, you know, a developed product. Jim Boylan, to me, I think is one of the worst coaches in Chicago sports history. I know a lot of people also agree with that sentiment. And you're not going anywhere with Jim Boylan, right? He's not a motivator. He's not a developer. He's kind of just like a placeholder coach. So it's going to be interesting to see. The main two names that are out there right now are Kenny Atkinson and Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, I feel like, is the number one name for every single coaching search that's going on in the NBA whenever it happens. He's been on the ESPN commentary team for the NBA for quite some time, ever since they got rid of him and replaced him with Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. And he's been pretty salty about that. You can hear by his comments throughout the games and whatnot. And so we'll see if that actually comes to fruition this time or if it's not just kind of like an air bubble. Kenny Atkinson's a great coach. He can be a really good fit for this team. Now, depending on what direction they go with, you can either, you know, ride the hot hand with Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, or you can kind of trade around these players for some good pieces and build over the course of the next 2 to 3 years. I personally think that that's the way to go. Getting draft picks, building up. In this year's draft, there isn't that much talent, especially without the NCAA tournament. You know, I shouldn't say that. Without the NCAA tournament, there is no real way for us to see what the talent that is provided in this draft can do in pressure situations. I think the NBA and the NFL, when they have these talented draft prospects, a lot of people look to the combines and look to the numbers in terms of their own measurables. And to me, like, what better way is there to evaluate a player based on what he did in critical, crucial moments in college? And you have the NCAA tournament for that. You have the college football playoff for that. Guys like Deshaun Watson, who maybe didn't have all the measurables, like a Carson Wentz or a Jared Goff, but took his team and beat one of the best defenses in Alabama in maybe the history of college football. And had 400 plus yards in two back-to-back national championships against them. Just impressive stuff. I mean, there isn't much that you can say, you know, to kind of discredit that other than the things that you can't control. Size, you know, wherewithal, arm strength, whatever. You know, everything that isn't measured on the field and is measured at the combine, I think that you have to take all that with a grain of salt and not look into that as much as these talent evaluators do. So the Bulls have an exciting kind of way to go here, finally completely clearing house and seeing where we go from here. Leave a comment, let me know what you guys think, where they're going to go with this, and how long also do you think that it's going to take for the Bulls to complete their rebuild and get a necessarily good playoff team? Because right now they have good pieces. I just think that they have like a bunch of good number three options, in my opinion. Lauri Markkanen took a step back this year. Zach LaVine is great, but one of the most overpaid players in the league, let's be honest. And I just don't see any superstars on this team right now. Switching gears a little bit to the other part of the UC, you have the Blackhawks, who beat the Edmonton Oilers in the play-in series, and they're in the playoffs as the number 24 seed to start. They beat the Edmonton Oilers in a shocking upset. And they are now down 2-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights. Now in the first game, they got absolutely dominated. And there was no real... I think the talent that the Edmonton Oilers possessed carried over to what they expected the Vegas Golden Knights to have. And you can't have that complacency when facing a team like Vegas, who are probably one of the top three teams in the NHL. Corey Crawford hasn't been great this series, but in game two, they were able to bounce back heavily, and they had 3 second period goals, but were not able to capitalize on that and ended up losing 4-3 in overtime. There wasn't much momentum. It was kind of like a, when is this going to falter in the third period? And when they let that lead slip, I think that the OT, when you have Taves and Kane, it's like anyone's game really, because they're such good playoff hockey competitors, and maybe, you know, they can come back and stuff. So tomorrow night is game 3. It's basically a do or die game for the Hawks. It's crazy because we didn't really expect this from the Blackhawks, especially after the year that they've had. But to see this, to see the Bulls, to see the Blazers, to see all these teams in the playoffs, it's really nice to see. And it's nice to have sports back, meaningful sports back. That's the most important thing for me. I'm excited to have that, and I'm excited to see where we go from here, because we have about a month left of this. Basically, the playoffs for the NBA will ride us into the NFL season if it happens. So, exciting times. I think it's nice to have sports finally back. And with that, we'll switch over to the Chicago Cubs. So the Cubs are riding an impressive stretch. They have won. They're currently riding a 3-game win streak. They swept the series from Cleveland. It was nice to see the Cubs back in Cleveland for the first time since the fateful World Series win. What more can you ask from this team? The starting pitching has been stellar. The offense has been there when you needed it. It hasn't been like a surplus or anything, but it's consistent. And that's something that we love to see. The guys are coming together. The core is playing great. There isn't much more you can ask from this team right now. The bullpen has even done a lot better than it did the first 2 weeks. Alec Mills is going to get the start in place of Tyler Chatwood, who was scratched tonight. Yu Darvish pitched brilliantly yesterday against the Brewers on Fox Thursday Night Baseball. Nice to see Joe Buck back. I'm one of the few Joe Buck fans still out there. But it was awesome. It's awesome to see the Cubs coming and putting it together. Now, a lot of the critics are saying that the Cubs are doing so well because they haven't really played anybody yet. Listen, you play who you have in front of you in your schedule, and the good teams beat up on the bad teams, and that's exactly what the Cubs have been doing. So it's great, great to see that they're finally back playing well. And, you know, we've been waiting all quarantine for this season, and I couldn't even have expected the Cubs to be this good right now. My major issue is the St. Louis Cardinals, who haven't been disqualified or anything yet. The Astros haven't been punished, so it's like punishments aren't really going around in the league right now, but they're punishing players that stick up to the Astros. I don't get that at all. That makes no sense to me. With Joe Kelly getting 8 games, you have Ramon Laureano, who charged the Astros dugout. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Amir Garrett on the Reds, who charged the Pirates and took them on his own. He got 8 games for doing that because Cintron, the Astros bench coach, was talking smack to him from the dugout, which is a real, real priss move, I'll say. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the season shakes out, because we're a third into the way of the season. The Cubs are the best team in the league. Can they continue to have this momentum? And a lot of teams around the league, like the Colorado Rockies, just this week took over first place in the NL West against the Dodgers. And guys like Charlie Blackman are having an amazing year. He's batting near 400. You have guys like Fernando Tatis Jr., who has just been on fire as of late. Guys like Aaron Judge, who had a great stretch this year. It's great to see that the league is really coming into its own with this coronavirus and the no fans rule. So we'll see how the rest of it plays out. The Cubs this week have a weekend series against the Brewers, and then next week they have a series against the Cardinals, who are coming into town supposedly. So that's supposed to be the Cardinals' first game back in action after their abysmal 5 games and then just coronavirus aplenty. And I don't get why these players aren't getting punished for it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But we'll see. Hopefully the Cubs keep faring well. And that's a quick wrap-up of what's going on in the league, what's going on in the NBA, NFL, and NHL. On tomorrow, I'm going to do a recap of the UCL quarterfinals round and get an episode out. And then next week, we'll get a deeper dive into the NBA after we get the full playoff picture. So on Monday, we should have an episode after the conclusion to the Blazers and Grizzlies series. Thank you guys for tuning in today for this quick episode. You can find me at NadeemN22 on Instagram and at TheDreamIn22 on Twitter. You can find 23zamike at 23zamike on socials, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for tuning into this quick episode. Like I said, deeper dive next week. Big things coming, so we'll see you guys next week. This is 23zamike. Love you guys.